soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on October 21st, 2011. And on the line I have Mike Bradford of Revival Fire on Blog Talk Radio, Revival Fire Ministries, a co-laborer in the gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand here in the last days, in the last hours of this age. And we are seeing the fulfillment of Scripture in so many fronts, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to talk today about some of the important things that are taking place. And Mike and I want to just share, and as we observe, as we're watching and praying and lifting up our heads and rejoicing as these things are coming to pass in our day, and we're just believing that Jesus Christ, his coming is so near, and he is so near those that love him and have called upon him out of a true heart. Mike, God bless you.
God bless you. Greetings and salutations from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor and privilege to be on SoundingTheAlarm.com with you. It is really wonderful to be in his presence this evening.
Amen. It's an honor to serve the Lord, Mike.
Amen.
You know, he called us. We didn't choose him. He called us and chose us. He pulled us out of the world, out of darkness, and revealed his Son. He's given us light, and it's wonderful. Well, here's a story, Mike, that we both have seen today, and it's the title of the article is 1 in 4 believers are, quote, Christians in name only, unquote, according to a survey. Now, we don't even know if the numbers are that high, but the sad fact is, even the statisticians, you know, those that take the stats and talk to people and ask them questions, we're just finding a lot of people are religious, but they don't even really know the Lord. They don't know the gospel. It's very sad. It's one of those indicators, Mike, that we are in the last days, because the Lord has said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith?
That's right.
Well, this is what the scripture, this is what this article is saying. Changing the Face of Christianity Incorporated is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to reversing negative Christian stereotypes, has released the results of a quiz designed to determine how well Christians live the teachings of Jesus Christ. And through the quiz, the organization found that 1 in 4 self-proclaimed Christians admit that they do not live according to Christ's teachings. The anonymous assessment consisted of 10 multiple choice questions that returned a score to the participant at the end, which then indicated to that participant if he was far from Christ, a worldly Christian, a good Christian, or a spiritually mature Christian, which was the highest rank possible. These responses were collected over a 7-month period from January 2011 through July of 2011 and indicated that 23.7% of Christians, that's 1 in 4, in this pool of over 2,000 that were questioned were classified as worldly Christians or Christians in name only. When posed with a real-world situation which tests their faith, they tend to do what the rest of the world does instead of living as Jesus instructs, White said about worldly Christians. What do you think about that, Mike?
You know, that is so true, and I'll say, and it goes right along what you're talking right now, parallels the Blog Talk Radio we did last night, that broadcast over there, with the Pharisees, because you see, this is coming in for what you are saying. The reason why people, I believe, that people are getting this way is the Pharisaical leaders that are here, they're dumbing people down by making them doubt God's word for what God's word has to say. You know, when you start doubt and unbelief, you just don't have no belief in anything. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ. The Illuminati is bringing this into the church to dumb it down, to get it to believe that God doesn't exist. He's not going to put up with his thing. And it's all smoke and mirrors what we got going on. And people are so gullible right now. You see, you start prophesying and start talking about, okay, here's an example, folks. We start, which I wouldn't do it on my broadcast, and know Trevor Davis well enough that he's not going to say this on his broadcast. But if he starts talking about UFOs, the Nephilim, all this frou-frou garbage that you hear in the media right now that everybody's flogging to, that's all they care about. And in the message, and I've heard it, they start out maybe the first 2 minutes talking about the Lord very briefly. Mm-hmm. They don't go into depth, but it's just a little bit of sugar on there to get you to believe that this is a Christian broadcast. And then they start getting into frou-frou stuff, talking about all this flesh stuff. Then you've got the other perspective of it all, where you got preachers out here that are talking all this stuff, and you've got Prophet Whistlebridges, he's out here saying, hey, you know, you come and give me a 100, God's going to give you 1,000, and I'm going to prophesy you a new car, new house, all this stuff. Well, you really look in the Word of God, the truth of the Word, and then, you know, we're back to the Pharisees again. When you start talking the truth, they're there to try to hammer you down. How dare you, Trevor? You're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just relating what the Word, unadulterated Word of God, has to say pertaining to the situation that is here in front of us.
Yes, Trevor? Amen. Well, Mike, it's right. When people do not want Jesus, if Jesus is not the number one pursuit of your life, I mean, after all, he is the only way that we can have life, the only way we can be forgiven, the only way we can find the weight of sin removed from us is through Jesus. But if you don't love him and desire him, then you'll settle for almost anything, Mike. I mean, the things of the world, the other gods, even your own vanity of your mind, your own pursuits. And that's a tragic thing, because the way end of those things is death.
That's it.
Now here's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Apostle Paul said this to the believers: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?
Come on.
And that's the thing. I mean, thank God for this man that, you know, came up with this quiz and he was posing these questions, but it showed people that you're just, if you're really not living the life in Jesus Christ and really not yielding to the power of God to change your life, and you're just living according to the world, you're of the world. You're not in the kingdom. You're not even going to see the kingdom. You're not going to inherit what God has freely given to us. It's just going to be left on the table. And that's a tragic thing, but it is time for every one of us to examine ourselves. And if there's things that are not pleasing to the Lord, then we need to repent, put them away, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have time, Mike.
That's it. You know, going on what you said, if you can, this is how you can really, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of you. If I am, I apologize, but this is how you can really tell if somebody is really serving God now, folks. You know, you can talk a talk, but are you walking the walk? Because it says here in James 1, starting with verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man looking, beholding his natural face in a glass, and beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightforth forgiveth what manner of man he was. But whosoever into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not forgetful, a hearer, but a doer of the work of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, and if we are out doing what God has called you and I to do, and if we're preaching the unadulterated word of God, then things will, the blessings, all this stuff, because we're putting God first. Because at first, it says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means and his holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you're putting him before you. That means when a person is truly born again, you just didn't, like I said, I think last night on the broadcast, you didn't go and repeat after some preacher or evangelist or whatever the five easy words or whatever to get becoming a Christian, and he or she goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you're now saved, you're a born-again Christian. And basically when they do that, just going through all the motions, they go back doing what what they were doing before. They don't turn from their wicked ways. They don't. They didn't give God 110% at the altar. Do you know? I know you know this, Trevor, and I'm going to say to the people out here that are listening. Do you know when you make, when you not make, but when you say the sinner's prayer in your prayer closet or at the altar, wherever it is, do you realize that you've made a vow unto God? And when you go do what you want to go do, He's already paid the price for your sin by Jesus on the cross. His Son died for you that is in sin on the cross. The appropriation, and like it says in Romans 3:23, I believe it is already been paid for. It's already been a done deal. And you go right around and you just kick it to the curb when you go serve yourself.
Yes.
And when you do that, you go serve yourself, you're a covenant breaker. You've broken covenant with God, and you're expecting God to just do whatever, you know, His blessings say because of what you're doing. And I make a correction to that. That is Romans 3:25, and it says, "For whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God." You know, that's God. He had His Son go to the cross. And when you go out here and you go serve yourself, I mean, just keep on serving your flesh, you have broken covenant and basically spit in God's face.
Right. And you can't say, well, use an excuse like, use a scripture out of context and say, you know, we're saved by grace. You know, that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is, a tangent. Anything off the straight and narrow. Jesus is the way. It's a very narrow and straight way that leads to life. Very few find it. But it's a broad way and a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many there go thereby. But the tragedy, Mike, is in ancient Israel, those things would happen to Israel. God's own people, you know, God loved His people.
Come on.
And He called them to be unique and distinct, a special, peculiar treasure among all the world. They went astray. And those things were written for our learning, but I dare say the church world has not learned, for the most part, from the erring ways of ancient Israel and Judah. The idolatry, the fornication, the pride, and the provoking God to wrath. I mean, the sins are outlaid for us. Even in the New Testament, what happened? But here's one of the things that happened with ancient Israel. When they were in sin, God would send prophets to call them to return to the Lord. They had become like harlots, unfaithful. And God said, you know, you've broken my heart by your whorishness. But He says, repent, come back to me, and I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you. And the Lord is saying the same thing right now. But God calls, and He beckons. And He speaks your name and calls you, but the people will not listen, and they refuse to hear. And that's the same that's going on today. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah that says that these false leaders and encouraged the people to remain in their sin, it made the heart of the righteous sad.
God said,
I haven't made them sad, but they are sad because of the state of the people, and because of the end thereof will be destruction.
Can I interrupt you there for a second, dear brother?
Yeah.
You said one profound statement that you made in the beginning of that. What was the office of the prophet at that time?
Well, the prophet was a servant of the Lord that went where the Lord told him and said what the Lord said to say.
And he brought what? Conviction of the word of God.
Absolutely.
A
true prophet, according to Scripture, will always call them back from their sin.
Come on. Did you hear that, folks? And not no true prophet whistlebritches that gets up there and starts prophesying or soothsaying all this stuff. There is so much prophets and prophetess and apostles and bishops, and I could go on down the line. It's ridiculous what's going on out here. And there's another way you can tell a true man of God. Go ahead there, brother.
Well, Mike, we're talking about an article that's revealing the state of the religious world, the church world, the Christian world, whatever you want to call it. There's very little distinction between the world and the church world, which is a paradox, because the church is to be holy, a people of righteousness by faith in Jesus. and they reflect and follow the Lord. And you can't be following the Lord when you're walking the opposite direction of the Lord. But there's another statistic that was done a few years back by Barna, George Barna, and it was about holiness.
Right.
And he was asking the people what the relevance was with holiness for the Christian. And you'd be shocked, because what the people said was holiness really wasn't something important for a Christian. But here's what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:14.
Come on.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So how important is holiness, Mike?
That's it. Holiness is a lifestyle, folks.
Holiness is separateness unto God. And God is holy. God is holy. God has creatures in the heavens that cry constantly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. And he calls his people to be holy. And he sanctifies us through his own Son. It's not by our works. It's because of God has created a new man in Christ Jesus and ordained good works that we should walk in them. It's through the cross. It's through that burial and the resurrection of Jesus that God, and he calls us to abide in that. Not, you know, to walk in darkness, but to walk in holiness. We have to be holy, Mike, or we'll never see the Lord. So we have a church system today that reflects the world and doesn't reflect the Lord. And they'll never inherit the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. I'm going to go ahead and read a few more verses here of Hebrews 12. And listen to what this writer of Hebrews continued to say. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, if you look up the root, this phrase, root of bitterness, I believe you're going to find that it's related to idolatry. And the New Testament tells us that covetousness is idolatry. Not just worshiping other gods, but being a covetous person, you know, wanting what isn't yours, wanting to take, is idolatry. But it says here that many are thereby defiled. Now, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator. Uh-oh. Or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So it's telling you that this Esau, you know, God loved Jacob but hated Esau. Esau didn't value his birthright. He was a fornicator. He was profane. He didn't value the things of God. And he sold out for a simple morsel of meat. And I dare say that too many sell out with the things of that are eternal, with God Almighty, for the things of the flesh, Mike.
That's right.
It says here, for you know that how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And now that's something that should put the fear of God in us, Mike, because how long? God is only going to knock on the door so long. He's only going to call so long and deal with you so long until enough is enough. I mean, we've seen this with the flood, when God made man, the rebellion, and with the Tower of Babel, and then God had to flood the earth with water to destroy the wicked. I mean, it was so offensive to God. And this Esau, he sought to repent. It's similar to Judas. He wanted to repent after selling out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But no way. So we need to examine ourselves. We're going to see apostasy, Mike. We're going to see people forsaking the Lord. Jesus said, one of the key things he said in Matthew 24:9 and following, that many would be offended and give up their faith and turn around and betray others.
That's it.
In the last days.
Amen. You know, you said one thing there, another profound statement from the Word, that, you know, he found no place of repentance. And, you know, when Ananias and Sapphira got struck down by God, by the Holy Ghost, for out and blatant lying and coveting the money and all this stuff, didn't give what was God's to his, he ended up killing them. Now, I've heard people say, and I'm not mentioning no names, but they said, Ananias and Sapphira died, they went to heaven because they were in the, you know, the grace period. Now I'm thinking, no, you lied. You didn't repent, and I'm sure that God didn't let them in because of their evil heart. Because right to the end, they knew what they were doing. They were conniving the whole time. Trevor?
Well, I'm looking at another story, Mike, that we need to comment on.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's on Halloween. I mean, the world, you know, the world is very religious, and they love to celebrate. And most celebrations that are even crept into the church world are absolutely of the devil, the god of this world. But this is an article called Halloween's Pagan Themes Fill West Faith Vacuum. Amity Schles. This is the article. Seems like Americans just want to have it be Halloween all year. The holiday just keeps getting more popular. 7 in 10 expect to celebrate in some way this October 31st, up from about 6 in 10 last year. So more and more people are following and desiring and participating in Halloween. Now, if anyone out there doesn't know, Halloween is a satanic holiday. It's grossly evil, and there's so much information that can easily be gathered to research what this Halloween entails. It's not just fun and games, Mike. It's not just dressing up and having a good time, but it's actually opening a door, especially for children, into the dark world, and curses just are just abundant through this holiday.
Right.
Again,
can
God
called. Comment on that for a second,
please.
Like you just said?
Absolutely.
It's going in the same direction. How do you feel, or your opinion on having Halloween gathering in your church?
Well, Mike, I the church just means ecclesia. It means called out. We're to be separate.
Come on,
again,
fall
is completely separate. And if you'll read Psalm 72, it was a command for the children of Israel to teach their children the ways of the Lord, but not only just teaching them head knowledge, but it was to direct their spirit to be steadfast with God and not to be stubborn and rebels like their forefathers. So a parent's obligation, especially one that's submitted to the headship of Jesus Christ, is to teach the children to be separate unto the Lord and not to tolerate and to compromise with the world. That's a very bad message for children.
So
we need to teach children separation. There's easy other way, options to celebrate and have fun with children.
That's it.
But I believe we should be completely separate from this holiday. I think it's a total compromise.
And I'm not mentioning no names, but there's a lot of churches around here. I see them advertising it. They're having Halloween get-together for the kids and the youth and all this, and you know, they've got all the stuff out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, man, you're just like the world. Why don't you just have a worldly party? Have a haunted house in the church, you know? Might as well. Let all them spirits in there. See, people don't realize they're letting the gate open to letting them spirits that from the dark side, from the demonic side, to come in to these children. And that's the reason why you got all these problems.
That's the number one thing that I think is absolutely diabolical about it, is what the effect upon the children. And number one, what does Jesus think about it? That's all that matters. I believe he's absolutely offended, grieved over that would go on in among his people, professing people. I mean, they falsely represent him in this. So it's obviously, this holiday is becoming more and more popular. I believe darkness is becoming more and more extensive. And we are in the times of apostasy. And, you know, Mike, when we read the book of Revelation, it gives us a very interesting, clear picture of the last days. And one of the things that the people refuse to repent that have banded against the Lord is witchcraft, sorcery. So many of the practices that go on today are just initiating the children, like Disney. I mean, Disney is the highest promoter of the occult that I know of.
That's it. Come on.
So, ladies and gentlemen, fear the Lord. Love the Lord. Separate yourself from the things of this world, and even in the church world, that are offensive to the head, Jesus Christ. Which brings me to the next subject, Mike. You know, we have about 5 minutes, and over the last few weeks, the Lord has given me an illustration to talk about the false church that is likened to, Colossians actually talks about those that do not submit to the head, which is Jesus Christ. When that takes place, and you're still religious, and you're not submitted to the head, it talks about them being vainly puffed up in their mind. It talks about them intruding into things they've not really seen, and worshiping of angels, and other things, and this is what we're seeing. And the Lord was showing me that it's like a Frankenstein monster. If you're familiar with that story, Frankenstein was a doctor who created artificial life by taking dead body parts, putting them together, and he created a monster.
Right.
And the Spirit of the Lord is, I mean, this has really been confirmed in many different ways over the last few weeks, that this headless body of church people are like this Frankenstein monster. They're actually dead body parts. They don't have, see, without the head, you have no life. You have, because through the head is how the whole body's built up and nourished. Did you know that story? The author, I believe, she was in the occult, and the subtitle was A Modern Prometheus.
Yes.
And, you know, Satan, it mocks God, imitates God, and he's trying to create, and what he's intended is an absolute horror. You want to be separate, ladies and gentlemen. These things are literally coming to pass. There's actually a church world out there today that's really not submitted to the head, Jesus Christ. They're not pure. They're not separate. And Jesus is looking for a bride that's holy, pure,
amen,
without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And if you love the Lord, you're going to be looking for the Lord. You're going to make yourself prepared for the Lord, regardless of the cost, regardless of the persecution, being ostracized and mocked, because all the true servants of the Lord through history have suffered this type of mocking. But this is God's call to us in this day.
Right.
Amen, Mike.
Amen. Can I just close out in two scriptures?
Yes.
We're back over in Hebrews 12:28. It says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God accountably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." That is so true.
And that's a New Testament verse, too.
Yes.
And God doesn't change. He's absolutely wonderful. And the coming of our Lord and Savior is really drawing nigh. And this is the time to study the scriptures and pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Is because it says, "Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says unto the churches."
That's right.
Don't be like ancient Israel that was stubborn and refused to hear and shrugged the shoulder away from the Lord. Because there's a cost for that. Well, Mike, thank you very much for sharing. It's a blessing, and these things are true. They really are happening. Even the people of the world are writing about it.
That's right. I mean, it's happening all around us. People need to wake up and smell the coffee brewing.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.